Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hour number 2 of overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 6 o'clock. Feel free to hop in, 800-636-1067. We'll get back into the Commanders in just a little bit. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Want to take a quick look around the NFL at some of these other wild card games, and we'll get back into the Commanders around 4:30. Bart Winkler from the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. He's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. Looking at some of these other games today, I want to get some of your thoughts, Chris, on what we like in these other games around the wild card slate. So, first game of the wild card round comes up in about 25 minutes, kicking off at 4:30 in Houston. Chargers and Texans. Chargers 11-6, Texans 10-7. Looks like the spread right now is -3 for the Chargers. I think everyone's on the Chargers for this game, and I feel the same way. I just have no confidence in this Texans team, the way that they've been playing recently, that they're going to suddenly show up and beat this Chargers team, who the Chargers are going to make it a simple game plan. It's run the football, just old school Harbaugh style, win the old school way, where it's not difficult. They're not going to ask Herbert to do too much. But the way the Texans have been playing, I don't feel like they're going to show up and suddenly figure things out. I'll take the Chargers.
I mean, here's the thing. It's a tough one. First off, I'm not a Harbaugh fan. It's a big state of a fan of Ohio State. I am just not a fan of the man. I know.
Heck of a game last night for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it was. But regardless, so my heart does play into some of this. I'm definitely going for the Texans in this game. I want to see Stroud come back and be like, all right, you all were complaining about how I ended the season. This is my statement comeback game. I'd really
definitely
love to see that.
Definitely a big chance for that.
And I also think that if Harbaugh does not win this game, his first season of the Chargers is kind of a loss. That they're expected, I think, to win a playoff game this year with Herbert and what he's come in with. So
yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's a loss, but yeah, after how they kind of started the year.
It hasn't met expectations, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah, it would lose a little of the momentum, right?
Sure. So that's not to say that next year they'll be worse or whatever. It just means I think that it would mean his first year didn't live up to everything that they were hoping, say, halfway through the season. So that's it. I'm really rooting for the Texans. I don't know. You're right. They have not been playing their best ball recently. But sometimes playoffs, that stuff changes, man. Sometimes it just gets in people's heads and they get that fire under their butts, you know? So, I don't know. It's hard for me to go for Harbaugh. So.
8 o'clock tonight, you got the second game at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Steelers and Ravens. Ravens favored by 9 points. I feel like the Ravens steamroll them. Now, this is the worst matchup that Baltimore could have drawn because it's just a fluky AFC North rival. Lamar hasn't always played well against the Steelers and all of the extra factors that go into a Steelers versus Ravens game. But with that said, the Ravens are just so much better than the Steelers, at least how they're playing right now. Give me the Ravens to steamroll them.
I think the Ravens will beat them. The only problem I have with the game in general is this is the kind of game that's going to be very physical because you're playing that Steelers defense and it's going to be cold and you're going to come out beat up. And so now you're going into, assuming they win the next week, very beat up, and then everyone's going to go, oh, Lamar can't play in the cold or, you know, can't win in the playoffs. And I don't know, man. It just stinks to play a team like the Steelers early because it's like,
yeah, you're going to feel it the rest of the
probably
playoffs.
Beat them, but they're going to pay for it, you know, physically. So
tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Broncos and Bills. I don't know that we need to spend much time on this one. Playing in Buffalo, Denver 10-7. The Bills finished 13-4, 8-0 at home this season. They're playing in Orchard Park, 9.5-point favorites for the Bills. Look, I think the Broncos will come in and give a little bit of fight early, but the Bills are going to be too much. I think they win this one pretty easily, probably by the double digit and cover the 9.5.
Yeah, I think it might be a closer game if it was in Denver and you had that elevation advantage and stuff. But I think being up in Buffalo, I don't know, man. I it's hard to say go against Josh Allen in the home first week of the playoffs. I don't know. Denver's got a pretty good D, but I think Josh Allen's just having too good of a season right now to have Denver be what stops him.
Yeah. 4:30 game. This one's going to be interesting. I don't know. After we get through, I want to get what your favorite matchup is. This is probably mine, outside of the Commanders-Bucks game, obviously. Packers-Eagles. Now, there's a little bias in there. I can't stand Philadelphia and, you know, have some family out in the Wisconsin area, so want the Packers to win this one pretty bad. Packers 11-6, Eagles 14-3 right now, the spread. Philadelphia -5 playing at the Link. I don't know. Not a lot of people are giving the Eagles or are giving the Packers a chance, feeling like the Eagles are going to win this one. And I understand that. Philadelphia is really, really good. Probably the most talented team in the league. Jalen Hurts has missed the last couple weeks. Maybe not fully going to be back. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like the Packers might keep this one close. And they kind of have that same sort of thing as you feel with Washington, where if Jordan Love gets going, look out.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, if the Commanders could do it, and almost did it twice, with basically just Jaden, I don't know. I don't think that's beyond the scope of Love. Now, that's not to say he definitely will, but it's hard to say that this is just going to be a game that, you know, the Eagles just blow out. I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
So. Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers, but that's probably a little biased because I just want the Eagles to be gone, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun one.
It's hard for me to take the Eagles on anything as well, but but I do think they are the better team going in. So,
all right, Commanders-Bucks is Sunday night. We've obviously talked plenty about that. The other wild card game, Monday night, now going to be played in Arizona due to the wildfires in L.A., Vikings and Rams. Do you feel like L.A. has a real shot in this one? I feel like Minnesota goes in there and handles business, and I don't know that Sam Darnold goes out there and has a great game. But I think he's going to go out there and play much better than he did last week against Detroit.
So,
and kind of go out there and just take care of business. They're 14-3 for a reason, even though it doesn't feel like it.
So here's the thing I think about Minnesota, and maybe it's unfair, but is Arizona, is that real grass in Arizona?
It is.
Then I think that's a harder game for Minnesota. I think they are great indoors, and I think Darnold is great indoors, and I just don't know now that it's in. I mean, I guess it would have been the same in L.A., but I think that makes them more susceptible to a upset here. Again, I think they are the better team going in. But Stafford is, you know, I think I said this to you or someone earlier in the week. Stafford is in that, like, Kurt Warner era of his career where he's just kind of this veteran quarterback that can make an otherwise, meh, kind of mediocre team take a deeper playoff run than you might expect. Now, I'm not sure he's going to be like when Warner took the Cardinals to the Super Bowl that one year, but he's in kind of that phase of his career where the guy's got talent and he's efficient at that, you know, in this time of year.
He's the only quarterback in the NFC, if I quickly double check this, that's won a Super Bowl, right? He's the only quarterback. Goff hasn't won one. Darnold, obviously, no. Baker, no. Jaden, no. Jordan Love, no. Jalen Hurts has been to one. So he's one of two guys to have been to a Super Bowl, the only one to win one. So you're right. Like, it's tough to count out someone that has that sort of experience, but I think the Vikings, with that defense, I think they get it done.
Yeah, I think Vikings are pretty PO'd after that loss to the Lions. I think they got something to prove too. So, but again, I think they play better indoors. I think that's, you know,
I mean, it is natural grass. It is indoors. It's like it's a funky stadium.
Yeah, but if it's the natural grass is the difference, I think there.
Yeah.
It's not that the no wind thing as much. I don't think it's the turf. You know.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's gonna be fun. Let's get Bart Winkler's thoughts on it. He hosts the Bart Winkler Show on Infinity Sports Network from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. You can hear it right here on The Fan throughout the week. We'll get his thoughts on the wild card weekend next. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 6 o'clock. It's my pleasure to get out to the guest hotline and bring in our guy who has famously said that he watches football better than anyone else to have ever lived, Bart Winkler. Bart, what's going on?
Not just football, basketball, baseball. Certainly not hockey, though. I don't know a thing about hockey.
Well, I was hoping, this is why I had you on, maybe we can cut this short. I was hoping you could break down the Caps' fourth line for me.
Somebody asked me on my show last night to break down. He goes, what are your thoughts on the Montreal Canadiens? I go, I literally have none. I've never thought of them ever. Don't ask me this.
Well, you are a national radio host now. Don't you need to know these things? Are just American hockey teams? Is that what you focus on since you host in the U.S. of A?
Yeah. No, sorry. I can't, you know, I can't be expected to know it all, Toby. I can't. But what I do know, nobody knows it better than me. I'll say that.
Always appreciate Bart's insight. We got to get his thoughts. Wild card weekend. Real quick, though, I want to start with college football. What'd you make of the two games, Notre Dame prevailing. And then Ohio State last night against Texas. I might be one of few people that actually still likes Quinn Ewers, but it wasn't a great night for him last night. What do you make of the two semifinal games and going into the national championship game?
I think one thing that I've tried to keep thinking about during this process, and, you know, it's a new thing, so we're going to debate what it is and should it be here. We may have the two best teams in college football. Ohio State's playing at a level that, I mean, is unbelievable. Notre Dame is consistently meeting every challenge as well. But had the 12-team playoff, like, been enacted next year, then the whole, like, landscape of college football is different. Notre Dame, I don't know if they would have gotten in. They were ranked 5, but I don't know that, you know, Penn State, I think they would have ranked it different if there was just 4 teams. But the big one is Ohio State, because Ohio State lost to Michigan, and that would have knocked out them from the 4 team. That would have probably got Ryan Day fired, and now here he is with an opportunity to win a national championship. And both of these teams have had, like, that loss that kind of got them refocused. They had the loss, obviously, to Michigan, like I mentioned. Notre Dame at the beginning of the season, where they lose to Northern Illinois, and then they're working with the coach. The coach, like, calls Freeman and was like, hey, this is how we beat you, in case you want to know this. So it's two teams defined by that, and that's what you get now in this playoff, is you can lose and then turn that, like, into a win. You can use that to motivate you, where in the past, if you lose, that's your season, unless, of course, you're Alabama. But in the past, that's kind of been the case. So I like it. I think it's going to be a good game. Ohio State's favored by 9.5, 10. I think they should be. But I don't think Notre Dame's going to not show up in this game. So very excited to see. Will Howard was great last night. He's been incredible. I think that defense has been really good. So I don't think anybody can complain that this has been, I mean, bad. Maybe it didn't reach your wildest expectations, but we got two really good teams playing for a championship, and they're going to settle it on the field as they should.
Yeah, as it should be, right? Not these hypotheticals, not all these crazy things. If you win games, you get to compete for national championships. I'm all for that. Talking with Bart Winkler from the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's talk about these NFL playoffs. We'll get into the other games in just a second. I'm curious your thought on Washington against Tampa tomorrow night. Obviously something we've been dialed in on. From a national perspective, how do you feel about this one for Washington?
I was trying to figure out, follow me if you can. Is the Commanders-Buccaneers game, is that more Texans-Chargers, or is Texans-Chargers more Commanders-Buccaneers? Because they're both, like, they feel like the same game.
So, I would feel that Texans-Chargers is more Bucks-Commanders.
I do understand what you're saying a little bit.
The problem is, obviously being in the Bucks-Commanders world, Texans-Chargers feels so irrelevant. It just feels so irrelevant.
Well, that's Houston Texans football. I mean, it's their 8th time in the playoffs, the same time slot. Every time they're in the playoffs, it's as the AFC South winner. They've never played a wild card game on the road. They've never played a divisional round game at home. I kind of like Houston today. And I'm talking myself into some of these teams that I think everybody else is swaying from. I think Tampa's favored, right? But I think a lot of people like Washington in this game. And
yeah,
they finished strong. Daniels finished strong. You know, the team's a fun team to root for and to like. Tampa Bay came in kind of choppy with that weird game against the Saints. From my vantage point, I do like Tampa. But I think it's going to be that game and this game that's coming up is, you could, like, say you went to the future quick and then came back and told me a score. And no matter what you told me, I'd believe it. If you said, hey, Washington won 40-13, I'd be like, oh, of course they did. Tampa Bay won 9-6. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, whatever score happens in this game, I'll believe it. There's just so many possibilities. Should be a fun, good matchup.
It was weird, Bart. So I was talking the other night. I just was hosting for an hour leading up to Caps hockey. And I was talking through this roster, and I'm like, you like the quarterback. The running backs haven't been good. Receivers outside of Terry aren't good. O-line isn't great. Defensive line gets no pressure and doesn't stop the run. Secondary sucks. Linebackers are okay. And then the next day, they had four guys named as second-team All-Pros. Okay, it's just, what has been the thought for you all season on this team? Because, you know, they win 12 games this year for the first time in my life. The first time they've ever gone past 10 wins, much less getting to 12. And yet, this team still doesn't feel great on paper, but they've got the quarterback right.
Well, I think that's it. And I think when you watch a given NFL season, I mean, I talk about this with baseball all the time, is you barely know any other team, because if you're going to watch baseball every day, you're watching your team because they play every day. In the NFL, at least, you get to watch other games. And so the big moments that the average NFL fan saw that featured the Commanders were all wins, whether it was against Atlanta on that Sunday night, whether it was against the Bengals earlier in the year, whether it was that Hail Mary earlier in the year. And Daniels has been the centerpiece of that. I think that they are a football team that has certainly earned, you know, this opportunity to be here. You probably do have a lot of these teams that are like good. They win, but they're still a little flawed. And I think one thing that's really been cool to watch, and I don't know what the feel of it is there, but I don't think, like, if you look at the NFL right now, one of the reasons Week 18 sucks is because during a season, there's not a lot of parity. Like, we think there's parity, but there's not. There was only four new teams in the playoffs this year. Everybody in the AFC that won their division won it last year. So there's not a ton of parity, especially during the course of a season. But what the NFL does provide is you can do one thing bad, like one injury, and you're good, and then you're not. And you can also, if you're bad, you can do one thing good. You can get a new head coach or get a new owner or get a quarterback in the draft. And Washington's done all of that. And so their rise has not only shown just how quickly you can go from zero to hero, but also I think it's shown, like, it's made it, because the Commanders, you know, and I've been with you through all those different rebrands, yeah. But this kind of feels like, okay, this is what this team is. You know, this isn't a version of any other team. This is the Commanders kind of feel like they belong now, like they have a brand. They have their quarterback, like we've been talking about. So just from my view, it's just been like, this is a team that deserves to be there. They can certainly win a game in the playoffs. I don't know that they're beating Detroit. I don't know that they're beating Philadelphia in a playoff setting, but they've certainly earned it. They're good. And now Washington football, which has been a joke for a while, is no longer that. And I think that's been cool to see.
Talking with Bart Winkler from the Infinity Sports Network. Your neck of the woods, the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. I think outside of Commanders Bucks for me, with obviously some personal ties, but also hating Philadelphia, this is the game that intrigues me the most. What kind of chance do you give Green Bay? I know I was talking to some, texting some buddies that are Packers fans, and they don't feel great, but I don't know. I get a feeling about the Packers that maybe they could go into Philly and get the upset.
You know how I said with Tampa and Washington, if you went to the future and told me a score, I'd believe anything you said.
Yeah.
It's that kind of game. Same thing with this game, only as long as Philadelphia wins in every single outcome. I'm having a hard time seeing the Packers win this game. I think the Packers, it's weird because, and the Texans are kind of the same way. Like, it was Stroud's last year, or first year last year. It was Jordan Love's first year as a starter last year. And both those guys did really good. And so what they did is they, like, accelerated the timetable, or at least the expectations of that. Both of these teams are where they should be right now, I think, under the new eras that they're being led into. But it feels like in both situations, but it's not what it was last year. I don't know that the Packers can go into an NFC East opponent's home and win a wild card game like they did a year ago. And even though, like, you know, there's the injury to Christian Watson's bad, there's a lot to like about the Packers. They're creating more turnovers than they've been accustomed to. Josh Jacobs has been everything that I thought he would be, and so that's been great. The issue that I'm having it's not the players. It's Matt LaFleur. I'm worried about this for a lot of teams. the clock management, these 2 minute situations, yeah, the decisions on challenges. Like, as a coach, some of these guys are so good at scheming open players and figuring out, like, making football a chess match between all these different formations and stuff. And then when it comes to just, hey, make a decision here, punt it, don't punt it, challenge, don't challenge, they're bad at it. And I mean, it's just, and it's like, it's a mystery that they'll just never solve, and they've accepted it. Now I'm just, this is not something I'm ever good at. LaFleur last week against the Bears, they had the ball. They just needed a field goal to win it, but they're running hurry up. And then they kick a field goal. There's like 25 seconds left on a running clock, the play clock, but the actual clock was running, which gave the Bears the football again. It just seems like, and I've talked about this a lot, Matt LaFleur seems to me like somebody who, if there's a decision in front of him, if you pause time and let him go back to his office and kind of work out the problem, he'll come up with the right solution. But then in the game, he doesn't have the luxury of that, and he panics, and then he goes up to the podium all the time and is way too honest about how he was indecisive and how it's on me. And there's been a lot of talk around Wisconsin, Green Bay, Milwaukee about LaFleur's emotions and his body language and all this stuff. And maybe, like we do with every topic, we've overdone it. But he doesn't seem like he's ever confident in the decisions that he makes. And I think you need that in a coach. Like, even with Dan Campbell, I think he's flying too close to the sun here, and I think they are going to get burned. But at least he's got conviction, and he knows what he's doing. Matt LaFleur seems to just be perplexed, like he's in the wrong class and he got a pop quiz. Like, figure it out, man. So that's what worries me more than anything. Oh, also, the Eagles are very good on offense and will probably torch Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, like we that talked too. About when we were still
I
together.
I forgot about that part.
Like we talked about when we were in Milwaukee. Like, it just seems like Matt LaFleur has to see something for the first time to get it done. And unfortunately, like, you can only get to the Super Bowl, you know, so many times. You can't just get there and then figure it out the second time you get there because you lost the first time. So unfortunate for that. Curious, though, NFC, obviously the games haven't kicked off for the NFC yet. Who would you say is the favorite? Is it Detroit? They're going through Ford Field. They're really banged up. You talked about Dan Campbell sometimes flying a little too close to the sun with the way that he handles things. Is that going to burn them? Who's your favorite right now to win the NFC?
Well, all year I've thought Chiefs Lions. And now, like, I'm filling out these, like, fantasy brackets where you take players that you think are going to go the farthest. And I've been leaning towards taking, like, Bills and Eagles. I'm worried that the Lions, my thing with Dan Campbell is he's aggressive, okay? We know he's aggressive, and we like that. He's trying to win football games. A lot of these coaches coach scared. Campbell's not doing that. His intention behind every decision he makes is, I'm trying to win this game. But there are a lot of things that he is doing that it doesn't seem as much of that as it seems he's got an addiction to these risk situations. The onside kick stuff, you know, going for deep in your own territory on a fourth down, going for it at the end of the game. And so far they've been paying off. A lot of these have been paying off. They've been winning these games. But I feel like Dan Campbell, I keep likening him to a comedian. So an edgy comedian, you know, a guy you see on whatever, and he's, you know, a little edgy, and you're like, okay, this guy's pretty funny. And then you go to his show and it's good. And then you're like, do I like this comedian? He's not as good as he used to be. So then he gets a little edgier and you're like, oh, wow. Okay. This is pretty good. And then he gets edgier and then he says the thing and then he's canceled. You know, he goes a little too far.
Yeah.
So, and I brought that up because I think, like, Dan Campbell might be a reason why the Lions don't get to a Super Bowl. And then I'll talk to Lions fans and they'll say, well, but that's how he got here. Well, yeah, sure. But the thing that can get you there also can be the thing, like, they would not be in this position if Dan Campbell wasn't the way that he is. But also that same thing can cost you. That comedian would not be as famous if he wasn't edgy, but that edginess can cost him. So I do worry that there'll be a decision that they'll have to face. And the key for the Lions is score points, because no one's thinking about any decision you make when you win 31-9. Nobody's thinking about anything than that. I think the Eagles are playing well. I still feel like Nick Sirianni is like pulling one over on us, but I do really like the addition, as everybody does, to Saquon. I think that completely changed the team. But I worry about that. I kind of like the Rams this weekend.
Really?
Maybe more.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm feeling Rammy right now.
We were talking about this the other day. It's funny when you look at the quarterbacks in the NFC. Like, Stafford's the only one that's won a Super Bowl. There's not really many quarterbacks in this playoffs that won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson has been forever, right? Like, he's recent, and then Patrick Mahomes, that's kind of it. So if you're going off of experience in the NFC, maybe that's your team. And Sean McVay's a heck of a head coach.
The best quarterback matchup we're probably going to get next week with Allen and Lamar.
Yeah. It's going to be an exciting playoffs. Bart, I've kept you too long. Appreciate the time, man.
Toby, it's never long enough with you.
You're always welcome to come visit.
If I'm out there, I'll call you.
I think I'll be in Wisconsin pretty soon, so we should hang.
I changed my number.
Bart, always good to chat.
Let me know.
All right, dude. I'll see you.
See ya. Bye.
That's Bart Winkler, the host of the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. He's on from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Great dude. Make sure you listen to his show if you're out and about late at night. We'll have it for you right here on the Fan on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's take a break when we come back. Let's get back into the Commanders and the Buccaneers. Let's dive into this thing. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. We'll break it all down next. And we'll get your thoughts as well if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. It's overtime on the Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 6 o'clock. I was just scrolling through this. We'll get back into the football in just a second. Potential future wizard Cooper Flagg today for the Duke Blue Devils. 11 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from deep, 16 of 17 from the line, 42 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Woo-hoo-hoo! I hope Cooper Flagg ends up a wizard. That dude is special, special, special. Let's get back into the Commanders as they get set to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow night in Tampa for their wild card playoff game. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So we were having a discussion the other day. Rooster and Linnell were apparently yelling about it on 980, which Rooster and Linnell yelling at something on 980 is not shocking. not shocking in the slightest that they were yelling at each other about something. But apparently what they were arguing about was the explosives in this offense. And whether this team would be considered explosive or not, or do they have enough explosives? I'm not exactly sure what the full terminology of the argument was, but Rooster was more along my lines where they're not an exceedingly explosive offense, and Linnell seemed to think that they were more of an explosive offense. Well, I dug up the numbers, and the NFL considers explosive plays a 20-yard pass or a 10-yard run. I think that's and we were discussing this a little bit as well. It's 10-yard run. I don't know if that's really an explosive, but for the sake of argument here, using their definition of explosive plays, 20-yard pass, 10-yard run, Washington ranks 11th in the National Football League with 112. They're tied with the Buffalo Bills. You have the Vikings are at 113. The Colts are at 115. The Cardinals 116. The Buccaneers are actually second in the NFL at 132. Number one in the league is the Ravens at 145. If you want to go strictly off of 20-plus yard plays, so 20-plus yard pass, 20-plus yard run, then the Ravens are still first with 85. Washington drops down to 13th with 64. The Buccaneers are sixth with 73. So a couple of things you can take out of this. One, the Buccaneers are a team that is very explosive, right? They're going to get the ball down the field. They're going to put together big plays. You cannot allow that tomorrow night. Cannot allow the explosive plays. It's something that Tampa is built on. That's something that Baker Mayfield excels at, being able to push the ball down the field, one of the strongest arms in the league. That's what they're going to want to do. You cannot allow that. The other thing, too, for Washington is you have some explosive plays. I'd be curious. I don't know how to quite divvy this up. It'd be difficult to exactly break it all down. But when you go with Jaden Daniels plays excluded, where they're Jaden Daniels created, right? A 15-yard scramble or a 20-yard scramble, where that's an explosive play, but again, you can't really account for that. You can't plan on that versus, you know, a 25-yard post route, a skinny post hitting Mike Evans. You can count on that, right, if they give you the right coverage. I can't count on dropping back and then Jaden creating every single time. Although it happens quite a bit, I can't book it, right? It's not designed that way, or I should say. I'd be curious how many of those. I just don't think of this offense as incredibly explosive. I don't. And there's nothing wrong with that. The curious thing for me is I feel like this offense has been built more so on the efficiency of the way that they play offensively, where it's 4 and 5 yards a pop. And what's crazy about how this has worked is the last couple of weeks, you haven't been able to run the football, which is huge in playing an efficient style offense where you're running the ball 4 and 5 yards at a time and you're never getting behind the sticks. That's huge. And they haven't been able to do that. But I think allowing Jaden to create, and this is really something that I've seen the last couple of weeks, or at least the 2 weeks leading up to the Dallas game when they finally clinched their playoff spot against Atlanta and the previous week against the Eagles. Jaden can handle you throwing more on his plate and kind of just letting him do things, right? Just kind of letting him run everything. Because when you think about going into that Eagles game, and we had this discussion after the Eagles game, if you remember, it was what's your favorite Jaden performance from the year? And I'm sure that's something we're going to have, you know, a lot of discussions about in the offseason. But when you look at what he did in that Philly game, that second half, and really early on in the first half, I'm watching my TV going, you know what, Cliff? I'm never this guy. I tend to be more rooster than I am G&D about the run game. I tend to be more in favor of running the football. Stop running the ball. Stop. It ain't working. It ain't gonna work. It's not gonna get fixed. It has not been fixed. Let Jaden do things. Let Jaden cook, right? Let Jaden do his thing. And once he kind of did that, Jaden went and won the football game. Crazy what he was able to do in that Philadelphia game. And that's why, to me, that was my favorite performance of the season for Jaden. And it still is my favorite performance for Jaden because so much was on his plate and he had to overcome so many problems. The Atlanta game, you saw similar type of stuff in the second half, right? The first half, first drive after the interception from Quan Martin, they're able to go punch it in. But again, that drive was crazy because you had some stuff working, and every time you would hand the ball off to Brian Robinson, it's like you would suck the air out of the stadium because it'd be a one-yard gain, no-yard gain, one-yard loss. There's nothing in the run game. Second half, you finally started to open up some holes, and some of that is because of Jaden's ability to run and some differences and holding guys for a split second, allowing blocks to get set up. I don't know exactly how you fix this run game. It's baffling to me that this team in the first half of the season was one of the best running football teams. And it wasn't just Jaden, right? Like it wasn't just Jaden. Like it has been in the second half, it's been largely Jaden. First half of the season, it was everybody. B-Rob was much better. You know, you were getting Eckler involved. Jaden was involved as well. But it wasn't just dependent on the quarterback to open up everything else in the run game. Really, you had the regular run game working, and it opened up what Jaden can do. That hasn't been the case in the second half, and I don't think it's something that can be fixed right away. But for the explosive plays, I just don't think that Washington is exceedingly explosive, and that's totally fine. But in order to win this ballgame, if you're not going to have explosive plays, which you might have some, but again, you're not top 10 in the league. You're not top 5 in the league like the Buccaneers are. They're second in explosive by the NFL standard, 6th in 20-plus yard plays, right? So they're really explosive by any metric. I don't think you're going to be able to keep up with them if you're going to just try to throw bombs all game. That's just not going to be the case. I don't think you have the dudes to do it. But I think if you can maintain some drives, take some time off the clock on offense, and give your defense some rest, because I think that's a big part too. Sometimes Washington's offense will have a quick strike drive after a long drive defensively, and they'll throw their defense right back out there, and their defense, one, isn't rested, and two, isn't good. if you're not rested and you're not good, you get a recipe that is not going to set you up for success. I think for Washington, though, if you can sustain those drives, and it's going to have to be probably outside of the run game, because I'm not counting on it. It's similar to me how I felt with Lattimore. When Lattimore left that Eagles game, I told people, I was like, whatever you get from him, the rest of this year is gravy. If he comes back for the playoff game, great. I'm not counting on it. They've got him back for the wild card game. Awesome. With the run game, anything you get out of the running backs is gravy, because I ain't counting on anything. I'm not expecting anything. I'm expecting Jaden Daniels to have to go out there and do everything darn near by himself in the run game to get things going tomorrow. If you get stuff rolling, great. Makes it a lot easier. And long term, that's something that's going to be really, really important. Long term, that's going to be something where you don't want everything to have to be on Jaden's shoulders every single week. But when you come to the playoffs, you put the ball in your best player's hands, and that's Jaden Daniels. We're talking about in the break. You know, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes, right? It's not about what you can scheme and all these different things. That's important. But when it comes down to it, it's about players, not plays. It's about players, not plays. Let Jaden go do his thing. And if the run game's not working, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, yeah, you still have to keep him honest. I thought this was interesting when I was in with, I think I was in with Danny, week after Christmas or sometime around then, or week of Christmas. And we were talking with Jay Gruden and talking about, as a play caller, how do you still keep the defense honest with running the football while knowing that you cannot run the football? Like, you have to still do it, right? It's one of those things that's kind of annoying, but you still have to do it, knowing it's not going to do you anything. But you have to do it to keep them honest. The thing that I would like to see, though, that maybe could open up the run game a little bit, is let's get some shot plays. I don't know that you're going to have a lot of explosive plays, but if you can have one or two that you can connect on, and it doesn't have to be like a 70-yard touchdown, I'm not saying that, but if you can hit something down the field where you can get the safeties backing up a little bit, not have them down in the box, maybe that's a way that you can get the run game going. But I don't know. It's really tough to think that they're going to be able to run the football this week after not having done it well for the last eight games. One out of the last eight games has been a good rushing attack, and that was against Tennessee. And Tennessee's not a great run defense. You look at their numbers, they're giving up 4.5 yards a carry. Washington averaged 5.9 yards per carry against them, and the number would be even higher if you took out Jaden's numbers, which is surprising in that one. So they actually ran the ball well against Tennessee, but that's it. And so I think that Biotish is going to be huge to have him back out there. It doesn't feel great that they've had some banged up linemen. Maybe that plays some into it. But it is a little bit baffling that in the second half of the year, it's just been non-existent for them to be able to run the football. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll start the final hour of the show. I want to give you my keys to the game, how the Commanders can get the win. Also, there's a sneaky matchup that I'm keeping an eye on, and we'll give you our predictions to wrap up the show. Toby Altizer with you till 6 o'clock.